2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. God's people like David, who are on fire for the Lord, are going to have some enemies. The more you are on fire for God, the more you're going to step on some toes, of the ungodly anyway. But sooner or later, God will deliver his people from all their enemies, like he did for David, because the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. God is your fort, as he was David's, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And you know what? He is a lot better than those old wooden forts found in the Old West. He's a lot better than the cement walls of the Alamo, too. He's even better than the deflector shields that surround Captain Kirk in the Enterprise. And that's because the Bible says that no weapon, none at all, formed against us will prosper. 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. David knew where to go for a refuge. There was no doubt about it in his mind. It was God. Money can help with some problems. Friends can help solve other problems. But when you are sick and the doctors say that there is no hope, you've got one hope, and that's God. When you miss someone who has died, you've got one hope, and it's Christ. By far, he is the greatest refuge for his people. 4. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David experienced God's saving work. That's why he says God is worthy of praise. When you trust God to take care of you, you're going to be closer to him than ever before. When you trust God and you see him come through, your praise is going to have new energy. 5. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Waves of death speak of a no-win situation. He's talking about having trouble on every side and no way to escape. And I suppose that's something that everyone experiences at one time or another. He continues, verse 6, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. David thought he was going to die, and I'm sure that he thought that more than once. He says that death had trapped him. Death had trapped and tied him, and he thought, there is no way out. Some day, some hour, some minute in the future, you and I are going to be in that situation, and we will be there for real. And we will know that we need God. If somebody doesn't know it now, they will know it then. Unless their hearts become so cold and callous from rejecting Christ that they don't even sense the need of God anymore, and then they're in even bigger trouble. 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. God is busy taking care of big things, and yet he has time to hear us when we cry out to him. If there are no unconfessed sins in our life, that we are aware of anyway, our prayers are right there in God's presence immediately. The second that we pray, they are there. And knowing that should energize our prayers. They're not a waste of time. God hears us. And look at verses 8 through 16. I'm going to read all these. Now, let's actually read verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. David says, I cried to my God. I prayed, and I prayed hard. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. And what happened then? Verse 8, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. And that is God's poetic way of saying that he acted like God on behalf of David. It was David's way of saying God heard my prayer and answered my prayer. He put himself in high holy gear and came to my rescue. The world has its sinful attractions, but nothing compares to watching God be God on your behalf if you are a Christian. There isn't enough sin in this world to turn my head away from my relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. He's just too good, and he's too exciting to be around to exchange it for anything. 17. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. God is more powerful than any spiritual anchor that may try to pull us down today. He can exchange an anchor of guilt by giving complete forgiveness. He can exchange an anchor of depression by giving us his joy. He can give us peace where there is an anchor of worry. He can set free anyone who has any kind of addiction, if they truly want it. He doesn't want you to be enslaved to anything negative, to anything at all, except him. The Bible says that God gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes we're feeling heavy because our sin has brought us down, and we feel such guilt even after we've repented and confessed. And you can't shake that guilt. Try a garment of praise. God will put it on you. You praise, he'll put the garment on you, and he'll lift your spirits. 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Feeling outnumbered, overwhelmed, and inadequate is not a reason to panic. It is a reason to pray. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 19, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You know, so David, he faced death many times, but the Lord always delivered him. 20, He brought me forth also unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. David wasn't even close to being sinless. You know that? Oh, man. Adultery. Not just adultery in his mind, but adultery and murder. And yet God delighted in him. You know, God enjoys having a good time. He likes spending time with us. And evidently likes watching us do our best and do good things. He's a lot like a parent in that sense. 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. David was not perfect, but you know, the pattern of his life, in spite of all of his failure, was purity. For the most part, he did what was right. He tried to please God, and when he failed, he felt so miserable that he confessed. David's heart was in the right place, even though his actions were not always in the right place. And God honored his heart, and he will do the same with us. Just remember, God's mercies are new every single morning. That's what the Bible says. 26. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful, and with the upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the froward, you will show yourself unsavory. God's justice and fairness is reflected in the things that he does. He is faithful, and he is blameless, and he is pure. He gives to everyone what they've got coming. Sometimes he balances the books in this life. More often than not, they're balanced in eternity. But God is keeping track. And one day, he will make it all right. 28. And the afflicted people you will save, but your eyes are upon the haughty, that you may bring them down. Those who are too prideful to admit it when they are wrong or when they have sinned, God's going to watch those people crash. Those who do not repent of the sin of pride will be put to shame. You know, it's the people who don't feel bad about their sin that are in trouble. And yet, it's often Christians who really, really love Jesus. They just feel horrible about their sin. And that's what God is looking for. As long as you allow your terrible feelings, your grief, your sadness over your sin, to drive you to your knees to ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Because never forget what God says. A broken and contrite heart God does not despise. 29. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Example. The Lord is our lamp. He will light our darkness. I remember when I was in high school, being my friend and I, for some reason, went into the auditorium. It was pitch black when we shut the door. We didn't know where our lights were. We started walking down these long aisles, and we found the stage. We crawled up on top of the stage, and we could not see a half an inch in front of us. It was so dark in there, no windows, nothing, no light. And finally, my friend found a light, and he flipped on the switch, and I was standing a half an inch from the sharp edge of a door. One more step, and bang, I would have got it. You see, that's the problem with darkness. When you're in darkness, you don't know whether your next step is going to be safe or not. When you're in darkness, every choice you make is like the toss of a coin. Heads, it's good. Tails, it's bad. But having Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior gives light. He gives wisdom.